And if you need a Bible, we've got some extras. Just hold up your hand, somebody will get you one. All right, get settled. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read it together, because now, even if nothing else gets said, at least this gets said. And if nothing else gets heard, at least this gets heard, because this is what matters. Ephesians chapter 6. We still got some pages turning. Take your time. We're not in any rush. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, God bless the reading of His Word, but now we've heard it. Now, because we've got so many fresh faces this morning, we've got to spend some time in review, because I want us all to be on the same page, right? We want to be in agreement with God on this deal. What's the first commandment? What's the first commandment in that passage, in that list of words from God that we read? What's the first commandment?
Be strong. Be strong.
To be strong. Tells me that I can be strong. It is up. It has something to do with my decision. It has something to do with my follow through. I can choose to be strong. Now, I may have weaknesses in an area, but I can overcome them. Sometimes we ask, is it possible for people to change? Is it possible for really you to change? Yes, it is possible. And it starts in with the Lord, and He tells you to be strong. Now, He wants us to be strong so we can do what? So we can take a stand, all right? And how many times, now you know we don't do this much, but there's a reason I'm doing it this time. How many times does He say stand?
Four times.
Stand, 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 stand firm. He'll say it. When God repeats Himself that many times, what are you supposed to know? What are you supposed to do? You better pay attention, because God's saying it for a reason. Now, why is He making such a point of standing firm? Why? It's right there. We read it. This is not a trick question. Why do I need to be able to stand firm? There's a day of evil coming. Now, give me another reason I'm supposed to stand firm. I need to stand firm. Because there's three we've discussed, all right? I need to stand firm because there's a day of evil coming. The devil is scheming. And one more. It's in between those two. The devil is scheming is the first one. He's still out there telling lies. And then that day of evil is coming. But in the middle, who's working? No, in that verse. The spiritual forces of wickedness. The spiritual forces of evil. So I've got the devil scheming, the spiritual forces working, and I've got the day of evil coming. All right? Now, real quick, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've done it before. Give me an example. And I want in the last week. Don't go back 6 months. Don't go back a year ago. In the last week, where have you seen any kind of evidence that the devil's out there scheming and the spiritual forces are still working and that the evil day's coming? Any example?
I think everybody here knows my story and what's going on in my life right now. And just barely this week, last week, about a few days ago, Josh had relapsed, and because of the circumstances that financially we are right now, I feel forced or in a corner to keep Josh there. And I have his piggy bank. That's baby Josh's piggy bank. He stole the money out of the piggy bank. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was going to rip Joshua's head off. Mm-hmm. And I felt when I was looking at Josh be so careless, like evil was just overcoming me, and that I was literally going to kill him. And despite all that, those feelings that I had, man, God is good.
Yes, he is.
Because it was weird. I felt like something was pulling me back, and I restrained from killing this man and going to jail for the rest of my life over a damn picnic.
Mm-hmm.
But
thanks for being honest.
There's been a lot of struggles lately, and I feel like evil just wants to overcome and overcome and bring me down with it.
Okay, let's take a breath. And you heard Zimri spoke it clearly and said it honest. And that's why we're here, right? We have done it in this room. And whether it's in the first group or this group, first meeting or this meeting, we've done it. When I've talked to you before about devil schemes or the spiritual forces of wickedness or the day of evil coming, I ask every week, I ask, where have you seen it? Most of the time, what we've done is said, well, man, what I read in the newspapers and what's going on in Washington or what's going on in the Middle East. We're very vocal about all the evil we see taking place out there in politics. And then even we'll talk about the media, man, and what's going on with the movies and internet and technology. And I'm not disagreeing with any of those things. We see the devil's schemes and the spiritual forces of wickedness. We see the day of evil coming in all of those things. But sometimes what we do last, sometimes what it's harder for us to do is to see it in us. And to be honest, folks, while we can shake our fist at our nation and while we can wag our fingers at those people out there, how they ought to be doing things, the truth is, these words from God were written to help me take my stand in my world against the evil that's coming after me. Because I can pray for what's going on in Washington and should. I can pray for what I see in the media and in public schools and I should. But the evil that he's talking about is just what Zimri said. It's the evil that comes and attacks us. And sometimes it comes from the person that you vowed to love until death do us part. Like in her case. And you see it in that story. She talked about how addictions have taken over. How there's been theft, betrayal, a loss of trust, an anger, a resentment. All of those kind of things that bubble up, those are the schemes of the devil. Those are the forces of evil. Those are that day of evil coming in somebody's family, in somebody's heart. So we're not going to talk about the nation. We're not going to talk about the movies. We're not going to talk about that internet. No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about us. Anybody else sitting in this room that has any struggle like Zimri's talking about, any challenge? Jeff?
My marriage, you know, it's come to the point that we're now separated. And, you know, there's been discussion of divorce because of the devil schemes. So.
You don't hear that, do you? You don't go to church and hear that. But it's honest. And the truth is, we better be ready to fight it. There are a marriage, there's so much tension and so much trouble that now it's come to a separation where divorce is being discussed. These words from God were meant to help Zimri, to help Jeff and Brittany. Where have you seen it? Where have you seen the day of evil in your life? We're not talking about them out there, we're talking about us in here. Where have you seen it?
This past week, I have been asking and asking and asking for some help with some stuff around the house. And I have borrowed plumbing auger from my boss. It cost about $300, and it got kinked, and I kept asking my son to help me fix it. And my boss had started asking back for it, and so Tuesday, Wednesday night, in the middle of the night, I'm taking it apart in my living room floor, trying to fix it. I have a panic attack. I'm freaking out. I don't go to work the next morning, which I never do. So then my boss calls and wants to know if everything's okay, and it's not. And I'm crying, and I'm freaking out, and they're telling me it's okay. But when those things start, it just snowballs. It's this goes wrong, this goes wrong, this goes wrong. My sister calls, wants to know if I'm okay, and I'm to the point that I'm just fixing to walk away. It's not that I want to hurt anybody. I just want to just leave. Let them do it. I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to be a parent. I don't want to be a mom. I don't want to be superwoman. I don't want to be the one that has to do everything all the time by themselves.
Right. Heard what Kim said. Anybody in here know anything about things snowballing to the point that you think, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here. And you want to give up on your responsibilities, you want to give up on any kind of responsibility. I don't care who gets hurt, I don't care what happens, I'm tired of carrying this load, I'm done. Anybody know what that's like? These words from God were written to folks just like us. This is not Sunday school. This is not theory. This is not theology with a bunch of Greek words. No. This is real life stuff. And these words were written to people just like us to say, I want you in these times to be strong. I don't think I can be strong. I want you to be strong. Yeah, but you don't understand. Now, you can say that to me, but you can't say it to God. He does understand. He's right there with you in it. And He's going to give you some help. I promise. He's going to give you some help. And He says, I want you to be strong so you can stand, because I want you to know it's going to be tough out there. Did I tell you? I think I told you. I told you about the person. I wouldn't tell you who it was. And even if I told you, you wouldn't know who it is. So it doesn't make any difference. But I'm still not going to tell you who it was. A person came to talk to me. He's in his 50s. And he looked at me and he said, I just felt like by 50 years old, I ought to be getting easier. And it dawned on me, we've kind of picked that up from church. That as you get older, if you lived your life right, things just get easier. Where did we get that notion? Maybe the Waltons? I don't know where it came from. Disney? Or poor old Oprah? I don't know where that came from, but the truth is, we live in a world where there's a battle going on. We live in a world where there are forces of evil working against us. We live in a world where the devil's scheming and the day of evil is coming. So what are we going to do? God wants us to take a stand. Now, honest, here's what I've seen us do. And I love you, but you know, some of us take the Chicken Little approach. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we just freak. Did you have a little freak? Yeah. And we do that. We freak and we run away. That's it. That's the solution, to run away. The other one is, I'll just lay here and let them kick me. I mean, I deserve it, so just go ahead. Kick me one more time. And we don't stand. Those of you who know me, those of you who are here on a regular basis know that I understand. I understand. And this is not coming from me, though. This is coming from God. God said, I know it's tough. I know it's the forces of evil are against you. I know there's a day of evil coming. I know that devil's scheming after you, but be strong. And I want you to take a stand. Now, how do you do that? Look what he says. Put on the full armor of God. And he says it twice to make sure we caught it, because sometimes we don't pick it up the first time. He said, put on the full armor of God. So I put around my waist. Now we've studied it, so we're just reviewing. I put a belt on, and that belt is truth. Now real quick, one person, why do I need truth around my waist? And let's honest, not theory, not theology, honest. What Why do I need truth around my waist?
Urges and impulses.
Your urges and impulses that come from this area will lie to you. They will say to you, "Ooh, that situation looks better. That situation looks okay. That one will be much more helpful. This will be much better." How many of us in this room have messed up our lives, wrecked our reputation, damaged the lives of other people because we couldn't control our urges? My hand's up. I'm telling you, we need truth buckled around our waist, because truth protects us from those urges, right? But then I've got to have a breastplate of... Now, why breastplate up here? Why does a breastplate, why is it so important? What does it cover? The vital organs. So righteousness is vital, all right? Righteousness is, if you're not right with God, you cannot survive. Now, can you survive a little while without a belt of truth?
A little while.
Yeah, Samson survived a little while. But you can't survive without righteousness. You can't survive without being right with God. Now, just by way of review, there are two things we talked about on righteousness. The first one, the most important, the only one that even gives us a shot at being counted righteousness is? Trusting in Jesus. If we're going to be counted by God as righteous, we've got to trust what Jesus did for us, right? But the second thing that He wants to see from us when we receive that righteousness from God is what? Is acting like Jesus. He wants us to live like Jesus. So I trust Jesus to count me as righteous, and then I try to live up to that. And I said try to live up to that. All right, then you put on your boots. You have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Remember why is peace so important at your feet? Why is peace so important at your feet? This one's not hard. All you sports nuts, this one's easy. You've got to have stability. You've got to have a good stance. If you're going to box, if you're going to throw a football, if you're going to tackle somebody, if you're going to jump high and run fast, you've got to have a proper stance. If you're going to fight in this warfare, if you're going to stand in this evil day, you've got to have peace. And that peace is with God. It's not an inner peace of, I just feel so at ease with things. No. It's not that nirvana mess. It is, I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with God, and I can handle anything coming. Now, if I'm at peace with God, I'm also at peace with other people who are at peace with God. So I'm not in this by myself. I've got a team. I've got a family. I've got an army with me, right? The next one. And it's where we study today. Now, after you've done all this, in addition, you should do what? Now, that said addition, which means you've got to put on your belt. You can't just get up in the morning and just react to whatever happens to you in the world. No, you got to get up in the morning and get ready for it. Ooh, I got to get on the loop this morning, so I better put on my belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, have my feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. I better strap that on and get ready for battle. But it's not just about getting on the loop and dealing with all those whack job drivers. No, it's about dealing with those addictions. It's about dealing with those mates or those relationships where there's been betrayal. It's about dealing with those memories that we've got from our past that make us feel ashamed. It's about those desires we have that make us crave something easier and better. What goes beyond our responsibilities. We've got to be ready for those things. So I strap on these armors, and in addition to that, I take up the shield of... Faith. One more time, shield of faith. Now let me make sure you got it. Belt of truth, breastplate of boots of peace, and a shield of faith. Now hang on. Let's work at it backwards like we did the other day. Why do I need a shield in the first place? From the Word of God. Why do I need the shield? To extinguish the flaming arrows, the fiery darts, depending on what your Bible says, of what?
Evil.
of evil. The devil is shooting arrows at me, flaming arrows. That's bad enough to have arrows, but flaming arrows, fiery darts, this is bad stuff, right? This is laser-like stuff. For those of you who are younger and don't even remember Star Wars. I mean, you're talking laser stuff. You're talking about fiery darts. You're talking about flaming arrows. You're talking about nuclear warfare. I'm trying to illustrate. This is bad stuff. The old devil's got lots of stuff in his armory. And we've got to have, we have a shield of faith. Now, so honest, let's do it right in here, right now. What are the flaming dot? What are the flaming darts? What are the flaming arrows? What are the lasers that the devil shoots at you? Not Sunday school. What are they that shoots at you? What are the fiery darts that shoot at you? Zimri's already been honest. Anger. Watching a husband and father betray not only wife but children creates an anger so strong that it wants to turn into hatred, which wants to take vengeance. That's a fiery dart. That's a flaming arrow. What's a flaming arrow that's sapped at you?
Fear.
What kind of fear? And you get started on that? Is there any end to it? I'm wondering about what's going to change and what's going to happen when it changes and can I handle when it changes and if I handle it when it changes, it'll change again, so then can I handle it? There's no end to that, is there? All right. So fear is one of those. What's one of the ways that the devil attacks? What's one of the flaming arrows that he sends at you?
Failure.
Give it. Tell me. Oh, now, in what area? What area do we fear failure and honest? Let's just pitch in with what Kimberly just said. What areas do we feel failure in the most, our fear? That's parenting. We scare to death that we're not going to raise our kids right. What else? Any other fear of failure?
Work.
Man, your life, that's your... You've invested your lifetime, education maybe, and your lifetime in a career, and that's how you've gotten to where you've gotten, and maybe you've gotten all these good things, but I suspect what comes with a lot of those good things is a lot of debt that keeps to maintain those things. And what happens if this business fails? What other flaming arrows does the devil send? Send it to us. We're not talking about anybody out there. We're talking about us.
Lies.
Lies from... Where do the lies come from? Honest. I'm not talking theory. Where do the lies that attack you come from?
Myself.
They come from yourself most of the time. Now, can mates lie to you and that attack you? Yes. Can parents lie to you and that attack you? Can your children lie to you and that attack you? Yes, yes, and yes. But the person that lies to me the most is me. It's my own heart that lies to me. So the devil uses those lies to attack me. Anybody else? One more. What flaming arrows, what fiery darts, what laser beams does the devil shoot at us?
My financial struggles, just so I think I'm going to be okay. Something else happens to the truck.
Real quick. Anybody in here worried about their money? Yeah. It's Esther, turn around and look. You're not the only one. Yeah. I'm telling you, money and our concern about paying our bills, our concern about maintaining the lifestyle, our concern about taking care of others, there's almost no end to it. And how many times have you sat and said, you know, if I get this paid off, then I'll take this money from this and I'll apply it to this. Do you know that never works? Never. I've lived long enough to tell you, once you get this one paid off, the washer breaks, or the car has a flat tire, and it works like that, doesn't it? And it keeps you filled up with fear. Now, you know one thing we didn't put in here, and this group always mentions it? I'm going to go ahead and put it up here, because it's one that eats us. We haven't talked about addictions yet. We haven't talked about relationships, bad relationships of people that want to tangle us up and get us involved in things that we shouldn't get involved in. And sometimes it's the most well-meaning people. They love us. And if you love me, we see those things attack us. So, all right, now that's just the start of the list. So what do we do? Look in the Bible, look from God's Word, and tell me what the Bible say to do. When I'm facing all these flaming arrows, when I'm facing all these fiery darts, when I'm facing all of these laser beams from Satan, what do? I take up a shield of faith. He tells me to take faith. Now, you tell me, what is faith? You tell me what is faith. And there's two possible answers in this room. There'll be two possible answers, because there's people sitting in this room that have been going to church ever since Moses came down off the mountain, right, John? And ever since Moses came down from the mountain, we got people, and they can quote the Bible just as clear as he could have quoted the Ten Commandments coming off it. So, what is faith? From those of us who grew up going to church and hearing it all the time, faith is. Excellent point, Rex. Hang on to that, because I'm going to come back to you. John?
Hebrews 11:1 says very simply, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
I knew he could quote it. That's why I called on him. That's right. I grew up going to church, and we heard that all the faith is the... substance is what our old Bible said. Assurance of things, a conviction of things not seen. An assurance, a hope, the conviction of things not seen, and that assurance of things that are hoped for. John said, that's the Bible answer. So did you hear where he said it? Hebrews chapter 11. So what I want you to do now is turn to Hebrews. You're in Ephesians, and you've got this one down. So I want you to turn to the right, and you're going to go through Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and then Hebrews. So you've got a little ways to go, not far. Find Hebrews. I've helped you get to Hebrews. If you need help getting to chapter 11, pull off your shoes and start counting fingers and toes. You'll get there, right? Now, Hebrews 11:1 is God's definition. Hebrews 11:1 is God's definition of faith. All right. I'm going to read it into the record. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. All right, now leave your Bible open to Hebrews 11. But I told you there were two definitions. I really should have said three, because we're going to get three in a minute. John quoted from the Bible. Those of us grew up going to church, that's how we've defined faith. Not always applied it, but defined it. Right? Now, others of us that grew up and never went to church, and this is the only church we've ever known, sometimes our idea of faith is and if you can't tell me, I'll tell you what you tell me, so I'll tell on you. Anybody think of it? I hear it all the time here. My faith is weak. And I say, what do you mean by your faith? I just don't feel. So those of us who grew up out in the world, not having the influence of Bible words in our lives, we grew up in the world. Faith, the idea of faith, is a real strong feeling about things. Because if we have a real strong feeling, that's faith. Right? Because if you have a real strong feeling about something, that means that it's got to be right. I've heard it said in this room, I just feel so strongly about this, I think this is one of those God things. Anybody ever said that? Don't have to hold up your hand. But we've done it. We've said it in here. If we feel strongly about something, even if it's something that the Bible says is wrong, I've heard us, because we didn't know what the Bible was saying about the issue, I've heard us say, well, I just feel so strong about it. I think it's a God thing. So faith becomes either a verse quoted or a feeling that makes your liver quiver. Now let's apply those, put those two together, and what Rex said. I want Rex to repeat it. Rex, what's faith?
Faith is doing what the Lord asks you to do. Even though everything you see, the world, and your heart tells you to do something else, faith says, Lord, I'm going to do it your way, because I believe the outcome will be right.
Did you hear him? Faith is doing what God asks you to do, and trusting that God will do what He said He would do when you do what He asked you to do. Now, I'm going to show you that in the Bible. Look in verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And I'm going to give you three words that are not written in this verse, but come from this verse that help me remember this. I don't know that I live it, but it helps me remember it, and hopefully that'll help me live it. He says in 11:6, it is impossible, see it, you got it? And without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone comes to Him must first what?
Believe
what? That He exists. Number two, and that He rewards those. That's number two. And then number three, He rewards those who what? Earnestly seek Him. All right, so I'm going to give you the three words. You can write them in the margin if you want to. Just put them in your memory. He starts first. Faith starts first with conviction. It is not a feeling. It is a conviction. It's a decision that this is a right thing, or this is a decision that that's a wrong thing. I have a conviction. I believe that God exists. That is conviction. But then I believe that God rewards those. So that's a confidence. That's a confidence. I have confidence that God's way is the best way. I have confidence that God is going to give me the best advice. I have confidence that God's going to take care of this even if I mess it up. So I have conviction, I have confidence, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And that earnestly seek Him is my commitment. It's when I follow through on something because I know it to be true, and even if I don't believe it's true anymore, I'm still going to keep it because it's my faith. My faith in God shields me from these fiery darts. Now, we're going to prove it. Okay, we're going to prove it. Let's take addictions. What's the... Nobody. Nobody ever said the first time they took the sip, the first time they took the drug, nobody. Nobody ever said, I hope when I drink this, I hope when I swallow this, I hope when I snort this, I hope when I shoot this up. Nobody ever said, I hope this destroys my life, destroys my family, ruins my health, and causes me to go to an early grave. Or puts me in jail. Multiple choice there, all right? Nobody ever does that. What do they do? What is it that causes the addiction?
Discomfort inside.
It's a discomfort inside. Spoken from somebody who's been honest about the struggle with addiction. You feel uncomfortable. You want to escape. So you try to escape that way. I'll smoke it away. I'll drink it away. I'll shoot it away. I'll snort it away. I will swallow it. I will get some escape. Now, what's the lie of addiction? What's the lie of the drug? What's the lie of the drink? Yeah, the lie is, this will make you feel better. It'll help you escape. Does it help escape? It's only a moment of... And did you really escape? Did you really escape?
Temporarily.
Really? Or did you just think? It didn't even lie to you about that. You didn't escape. The problem's still there. You're just too numb to feel it, right? And what happens when you wake up? Not only is the discomfort there, not only is the pain still there, now there's a hangover, or there's a guilt, or there's a fear that you're going to get caught, or there's a consequence. And now there's an addiction that says, I need to do this again and again and again. All right? Which part of faith, I'll let you pick one. And only people who struggle with addictions. Answer this one. Which part of faith here, this conviction, this confidence, this commitment, can help me overcome addiction? Help me quench that flaming arrow. I'm sorry? The commitment. Because what's your body saying? I gotta have it. And that makes your mind think, I've got to do something to get it. And so while your conviction about whether it's right or wrong, good or bad may go, your confidence that God's going to take care of you even if you don't do that, you finally, it just has to be a commitment. I'm not going to do it today. What is it we talk about? One day at a time. There's that commitment. Alright, let's take another one of these. Let's take what we talk about in anger. The anger that turns, now, an anger that turns into a hatred that turns into a vengeance. What part of faith helps me deal with that? I'm sorry? Why confidence? I think you're right, but why confidence? How does confidence help me overcome this? Yeah, say it again.
That God will take care of it.
God is going to take care of it, y'all. Now, I'm about to say something that some of you are here for the first time, or some of you even have been here a while, if you hadn't heard this discussion, you're going to react to it. You're going to go, is that right? Because you're going to hear something that doesn't sound right to you. You got a question about it, grab me. We'll talk about it. I'm going to preface it so not to just shock you with the statement. Jesus says, if someone hurts a little one, it would be better for that person to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the ocean. Now folks, millstone's big rock, tied around your neck, not comfortable, chunked into an ocean, bad deal. Bad deal, right? Horrible way to go. Who is saying those words? The Prince of Peace. The person that says, oh, my God wouldn't do that kind of thing. Jesus is saying, it's better for that to happen to that old boy than to what I'm going to do. I didn't write this. Jesus did. If that fella did that, then it would be better for him to have that happen to him than what I'm going to do to him. So now listen, with that thought in mind, listen to God say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Now that means I don't get to do what my anger wants to do. Zimri doesn't get to do what her hatred wants to do. But her confidence can be what? God is going to make him pay. Now, honest, those of us who grew up going to church will talk, ooh, we shouldn't talk like that. We're supposed to forgive everybody. And listen, I'm all for forgiving. It's serious. I'm all for forgiving. Because I've been forgiven. And I thank God. I don't deserve to be forgiven. Should never have been forgiven. But I thank God by the grace of Jesus, I have been forgiven. And I hope I learn to be like Him and forgiving. But are there some situations or some things that we have a right to be righteously angry? Is there such a thing as a righteous hatred? Yes. Yes. We say it here all the time. It's always right to agree with God. So while Zimri has a right to be angry, may even have a right to feel that hatred, what's the truth? God will handle it. She doesn't have to. Now, does that mean Zimri's supposed to be okay with it?
No.
No. It's right to hate what God hates.
Let's.
And the truth is, she doesn't want to. Doesn't really want to, because there's consequences to that that will take her away from the children she loves the most and destroy a life that she's working hard to build. So what does she really want? God to handle it. That's where faith protects her. And her faith kicked in. And she was able to block quench, extinguish that flaming arrow, that laser that came from the devil. All right? Let's do one more. Confidence would handle fear. Let's do relationships. Let's do relationships. Because there's several levels to this one. Anybody in this room know anything about kind of becoming a friend to, getting hooked in with somebody that got you headed in the wrong direction? I'm waiting. Anybody? Yeah, I'll start pointing you out. Don't be acting like you... Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah. I was going to say me too, me three, me four, me five. Right. Now, how do you make that... Because honest, and I won't tell you who, and even if I told you who, you wouldn't know who, but the person said to me, I know that this is wrong. And they were talking about a relationship. It was this week in my office. And you don't know her, and I wouldn't tell you who it is, and it wouldn't help if I did. But the point is, she said, I know it's wrong, but I don't want... Finish the statement. I don't want...
To be alone.
I hear it all the time. I know this is not a good relationship, and it's a bad relationship physically, it's a bad relationship emotionally, it's a bad relationship spiritually. Strike three, you're out. And she said, I know that's right, but I don't want to be alone. There's that old fear kicking in, that old lie that there's something about alone that's bad. A bad alone is horrible. Listen to some of our folks talk. Alone is tough. Alone is tough. But alone doesn't compare in bad until you're alone with somebody that you're bound to. Alone in a marriage is much worse. Alone in a relationship is much worse than being alone. That conviction helps you. Just the sheer conviction. I know this is wrong. So no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but he's so cute. I know it's not right, so I'm not going to do it.
But he does love me.
But he loves me. Oh, yeah. And you know what I hear? Here's the one I love. Here's the lie that comes in this relationship stuff. When it's good, it's great. What do you mean by that? You mean he can be a jerk, pig, dog, and you fill in the blank. Not out loud, because this is being taped, right? And you somehow think that excuses that other behavior if it's good once in a while. Here's the truth. The conviction is from Jesus, not from me. He gave us His words to help us have faith. And I forgot to mention this to you. I think you know this one. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And faith, Jesus taught us, you do not give what is sacred to the dogs. You do not cast your pearls before swine. I didn't write that. Jesus wrote that. And so He's saying to you ladies, He's saying to you fellas, if you're in a relationship with somebody and they act like a dog, or they act like a pig. Now, that's we'd laugh if I really would work on this. But the Bible defines dogs. The Proverbs taught us about dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Dogs go back to what? They go back to their vomit. That's somebody who cannot break that cycle of evil. Pigs are people that go back to wallow. They go back to the thing that made them dirty in the first place. If you're in a relationship with a person who has that as their lifestyle, they are, by God's definition, acting like a dog and like a pig. And what does Jesus say you're not just allowed to do, required to do? You do not give what is sacred. And you know what the sacred is there? You. You were created by God in His image. The Holy Spirit of God lives in your body. You are sacred before God. Do not give yourself to that pig. Do not give yourself to that dog. Even if she loves you. You do not give what is sacred to the dog. You do not give what is sacred to the pig. That conviction will protect you. That conviction will protect you. Now, does that mean you'll all have this good feeling? Will we have a good feeling? No, we won't have a good feeling. In fact, sometimes it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. But we're going to be protected. Brad said it Wednesday night. Said something I'd never heard before, never thought of it before. Words mean something, and Brad picked up on a word from God that I'd never thought to define. And I'm going to finish this way, and then we'll eat supper with the Lord. Do you remember what it says that the shield of faith will do with the flaming arrows? What will it do with the fiery darts? My old Bible said it would quench. Your Bible say it extinguish. What does extinguish mean? Puts it out. Puts it out. Doesn't just bounce back so it can ricochet and hit you somewhere else. No, it'll quench it. If you'll hold on to your faith, if you will hold on to your faith, if you'll hold on to your conviction, if you'll hold on to your confidence in God, if you'll hold on to your commitment, if you'll hold on to it, what will happen with the flaming arrows that the devil sends your way? They'll be snuffed out. Ever shoot off a lot of bottle rockets? Shoot off a bunch of bottle rockets. What, the next day, what will you find? You'll find the little sticks and the little casing all over the place. Pick them up. How much power do they have? They've been extinguished. You hold it. Now, the flaming arrow is still a flaming arrow, but if you keep on to your faith, what does that flaming arrow become? It becomes where it cannot hurt you. But you got to hold on to your faith. You got to hold on to your convictions. You got to hold on to your confidence. You got to hold on to your commitment. Now, I'm going to say this and hush. Some of this battle, we live in a world full of it with people. Our struggle is not against. Our wrestling is not with flesh and blood. But it's against these spiritual forces of evil. It's not that we're after somebody. We're just trying to protect ourselves from the devil. But a lot of this battle takes place inside our heads. We have memories of things that we've done. We have memories of things that others have done to us. And it causes a battle to rage in us constantly. These same things will help you defeat those schemes inside your head. Hold on to your convictions. Hold on to your confidence. Live up to your commitment. And the fiery darts, the flaming arrows of the devil will be quenched. All right? All right.